Hello there, and welcome to yet another installation of this podcast on location with Martin Jorgensen. First of all, I want to excuse that I didn't produce an episode last week. I have been severely under the weather due to a flu, which was followed by an infection in my ears. I'm still half deaf on one ear, and talking into the microphone like this is quite a strange feeling, since it's like I have cotton in my one ear, but never mind. Ear infections are really painful too, and very unpleasant, I can tell you, and I'm only recovering now, not least thanks to the many people who wrote me with wishes to get better, and I'm very thankful for those emails. Thank you very, very much for your concern. But my slow recovery means that I won't be going outdoors today, so this episode will be a bit different from the ones that I usually do. We won't be on location as such. I won't be taking pictures with you listening in. I don't really have the energy to go out, and I'm also a bit reluctant to stay outdoors too long. Spring is coming. Definitely, it's a lovely day outside today, and I would love to be out there, but for the sake of my health, I think I will just stay indoors. So that's why I decided to give you a different podcast today, maybe a slight background on my history as a photographer, and maybe talk a bit about having a long history with photography and why that might be interesting. Was actually sparked by my rummaging around in my old black and white photos, which I keep in a large envelope quite close to my bed. And while lying in the bed and doing nothing, I dug out some of those old photos and just leafed through them, and actually had quite a fun time looking at them and remembering many of them. I can remember taking and remember fooling around within the dark chamber. My interest in photography literally came from my father's interest in photography. At one point, when I was about probably 10 to 12 years old or something, I managed to get my hands on his old SLR, which was a Minolta SR7. This was a camera as they were built back then. A solid metal camera made from brass, probably. Manual focus, film of course, manual film wind, fully mechanical. Everything was really amazing mechanical quality, and the camera itself was close to indestructible. That's at least a feeling. This was produced between 1960 and 1966, and I probably got my hand on my dad's camera about 1970 to 72. It was really an eye-opener. I think the camera was equipped with a normal lens, which was a 50mm f1.7, which was quite a common lens back then, these 1.7, 1.8 lenses, as we also know them today, at 50mm. And I remember him also having a 135mm f2.8 or f2, I don't really remember the details. And these were glass as they made them back then. Heavy metal based, really smooth focusing, nice glass. All manual, of course, all manual aperture rings, and no metering whatsoever. Apart from the fact that it was actually a meter built into the camera, it was kind of a manual meter, but built into the camera. But most of my metering was done by squinting into the sun and looking at the sky and comparing to what was written on the boxes of or the inlay papers of the films that I bought. And that would just say, like, overcast day, you put it at, you know, 1/60th of a second f8 and just press the button and that's it. I did have a manual light meter on the side, which I also used, that gave a bit more precision, but in most cases, these black and white films that I shot were really forgiving, and I could actually get quite far by using an assessment of the light. Of course, I shot black and white only. That was all I could afford, and my darkroom was actually a bathroom in my parents' flat, where I lived back then. I remember putting towels under the door so that the light wouldn't seep in, and putting a red bulb in the socket there, and putting a bought over the bathtub and having all my baths for, you know, developer and fixer and what have you in those. And I had my Durst, I think it was a Durst enlarger on seated on literally on the toilet itself with the seat down, of course. So I was on my knees there, fooling around with stopwatches and bath and, you know, just learning the drill. And all this altogether made me a true film shooter. I was learning through careful exposure and dark room after work and really seeing the results of every single decision that I had made in the field and every single decision that I made regarding, you know, the contrast of the paper that I chose, the amount of exposure that I gave the picture in the enlarger and all this. In many ways, I'm still a film shooter, and let me explain why that is. It's not like I shoot film anymore. I did go 100% digital the moment that I acquired my first digital SLR. But my upbringing was in film, as I just described, and that marks my way of thinking and shooting, I think. I come from a film background. My photo career has consisted of 30 years of shooting film and maybe 5 years of shooting digital. So my deep dwelling shooting habits are film habits, no doubt about it. Of course, the arrival of the digital age has changed the way that I shoot quite a lot. I don't bother much about the number of frames that I shoot. I know that each frame will not cost money and eat into my film stock or leave me with less images in the camera, at least significant less images in the camera. Back in the old days, I would constantly glint at the frame counter, and like a Western gunslinger, I would count my shots and always know how many bullets I had left in the drum. If you have 36 frames, in the beginning, you could be down to 10 within minutes. In many situations, things were happening fast and you had to think about every single frame you shot. And sometimes you had to skip a good moment in order to save images for an even better moment that could come, or maybe couldn't. And you knew that film changes were inevitable. You had to put in new rolls of film. I would shoot many rolls of film in one day, and changing film was this thing that I could do blindfolded. Modern film cameras would rewind a film in seconds, and as soon as that buzzing sound started, I went into a series of movements. Grab a new film from pocket, open canister, get out new film, open camera, get out exposed film, dunk unexposed film into camera, put film strip onto red mark, close camera, drop exposed film into canister, put exposed film in different pocket and grab camera and shoot on. That was kind of a movement that you could just do and could be done in about the time it has taken me just to recite this, and even faster on cameras that were fast rewinders. I didn't think much about that whole movement thing until after a day's shoot, when I dug out all the canisters with exposed film and brought them to the lab together with the number of prepaid tickets that was required to pay for the development. And I dug into my stock of fresh film and filled the bag and the pockets. Ooh, that was expensive, you know. It was quite expensive, even though I shot slide film mostly and I got the finished product from the slides directly. It was a lot of expenses. And I'm really happy not to have them anymore. I shoot on the wrong side of 20,000 digital images every year, and if I had to pay for film and development and spend time at the light table sorting and cutting and maybe framing pictures like that, I would be doing nothing else and I wouldn't be able to pay for that. No, digital has definitely brought about some changes for me. And then again, I still have a lot of my old film ballast. Come to think about it, what do I do that I actually learned back then? Well, I learned to handle an SLR in my film era. More than 30 years of large cameras with interchangeable lenses has given me some routine in every aspect of SLRs. Packing them, handling them, carrying them, firing, changing lenses, you know, the whole handling thing, not to mention the use of a viewfinder. As you will see, many newcomers to SLRs We'll look at the back for a live view, which is a facility that only just came with the recent SLRs, digital SLRs that is. And many newcomers wonder how you can shoot looking through a viewfinder. I find myself enjoying the viewfinder every time I get my SLRs out. It's just the way I want to take pictures. I don't know what it is, but it's really like getting back to my old self. Creating an exciting image, you know, placing subjects in the right places and skills in the area of composition, using light, seeing lines, seeing symmetry, seeing the image in the finder. All that was also something that I learned while shooting film. And I learned the hard way too. Every image counted, and getting it right the first time was really important. Exposure was another thing that I really learned down deep when I was shooting film. Of course, modern cameras are wonders when it comes to exposure. They have all sorts of intelligence built in and exposed almost any odd situation as they should. High-key snow scenes, low-key campfire, contrasty scenes, strange color casts, shooting into the sun, away from the sun, up against the window, you name it, these cameras will just handle it. They have such a vast spectra of scenes and lighting situations built in that they can take from that almost any scene can be properly exposed. But still I find myself bypassing the camera's choice ever so often and over and under exposing, stopping down, dragging the shutter, you know, certain scenes are just differently exposed based on my knowledge of what the camera will see compared to what I see, or maybe rather what I want to see. And of course this is all connected to thinking, and thinking is quite an important part of taking pictures. I know, of course, that this sounds a bit self-obsessed, and I'm not the only photographer that thinks, but I really believe that a long history with film and photography makes me think about each image in a different way than many newcomers do. Maybe not each image, but, you know, each scene or subject. In the old days, that would be just a few frames, but today each scene may very well wind up consuming like 20, 30, 50 frames, but I still think that I use trial and error less and proven concepts more because I used to have to do so in order to save money and time and in order to nail that exposure and that picture on film. So in essence, I'm a film shooter. I have a long heritage of film habits and film knowledge that I draw on. It's not like I miss film. No, sirree, I don't. I haven't looked back at film since I changed to digital, and the last film I put in my last film SLR body sat there for a very long time before I took it out and trashed it. Since then, there have been no film in my life. Film may have something that can enable us to do things better than digital. Larger dynamic range, different tonality, soft shoulders and all these things that you hear, and definitely there's something about it, but the quality and convenience of digital just has me tied to the digital way of doing things, and I'm not going to go away from that anytime soon. I do not miss film in that respect. I think back of it with some sentimentality, but and I'm really glad for all the things that I learned when shooting film, but I'm a digital man now, no doubt about it. Okay, I think this trip down memory lane is about to end now. I know I've been maybe diverting a bit from the usual subject being on location, but then again, I think I've made an important point, which is one of the really important things that you need to learn about photography when you'd use a SLR camera and want to take really decent pictures is that you have to learn something about the basics. Not that I want you to go back and shoot film, but you may want to use your common sense and try to shoot manually and use the aperture and shutter priority modes on your camera and not just leave it in that green program mode and the P mode and just let the camera do all the work, because even though it does one hell of a good job, it sometimes does things differently compared to what you could do by using your common sense and just using a bit of knowledge about exposure. Also, remember to vary your for instance, your aperture and see what happens to the same picture when you stop down and open up wide and see what happens to pictures of your kids when you go from like 1/30th of a second to 1/60th to 125th to 1/500th of a second and see what different effects it has. Because it does really have a significant effect, and you need to know what you're doing when you're out there shooting. And the more this becomes second nature to you, the better pictures you can get just in the moment without thinking too much. Even though I did talk highly about thinking, I think the way that you need to think here is just like, as I said, a second nature, reflexes that just make you react the right way when you see a scene changing or you see something changing and you need to adjust your camera. And even the most humble DSLR cameras today do have a lot of controls that you can fool around with and learn things. And don't worry about wasting film and spending money on development, because that's not an issue. Just shoot along as merry as you can and get a lot of pictures, go home and check them out on the computer, and if you're not satisfied, just delete them and go back and shoot some new ones. That's the really, really big blessing of modern digital photography. Okay, I think I'll stop for now and say thank you. Again, thank you for all the well wishes from people all around the world. And I definitely hope to get so well that I can go outside and really get on location next time. I have a couple of indoor subjects on the platter here that I might spend time on doing. But apart from that, I would love to go outdoors in the spring weather and take some pictures. As should you. As soon as you've heard this, just get out there and take some pictures. I'm so envious of you guys who can run around outdoors and shoot. So, until next time, take care, and remember to leave some feedback in the podcast forum. You can mail me at onlocation@nikonians.org, and suggestions, questions, anything, comments are welcome. Until next time, take care, and goodbye.